Good morning, Lakeside. I don't know if my voice is going to hold out after that song, that last song. Hallelujah. What an awesome thing that is to hear God's people singing praises to Him. Wow, I will not miss that anymore because we're back and so thankful for that. As you can see by the title up there, we're back in Anchored in the Gospel. This was 6 months ago, in case you didn't know that. And if you were here at Lakeside, you may or may not remember this. This is, you know, COVID's brought a lot of firsts, right? So this is a new first for me today. This is the first time that I've preached a second part to a sermon that was preached 6 months ago. So 6 months ago, Pastor Dave spoke on Saved to Serve, and he spoke on John chapter 13 and talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And so we're going to extend that and look at 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11, and talk about how we serve our great God. Let's open up in a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be gathered together here today as the church here in Polk City. Thank you, God, for the people here who are singing praises to you and worshiping you, Lord. Thank you for Alex and the group just leading us in that worship, Lord. God, we are so thankful for what you've done. Thank you that out of that grave, the roaring lion came and cried out that death has no grip on him. And thank you because of his sacrifice, Lord, that we can fully give our lives over to you and we can know for sure that the grave has no grip on us today, Lord. Lord, I pray today as we look at your word that if there's one who does not know Christ, who hasn't fully surrendered their life to him and claimed the salvation and the gift of salvation there, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do a work today in their hearts and that you would bring them to yourself and do the work that only you can do. And Lord, for those of us who have surrendered our lives to you, God, I pray that this sermon would cause us to take a good, hard look at our own lives. And I pray that in my own life, God, that if there's something that needs to change in my life, that today through your word, that I would change that. I would do something different in my life that needs to be done, that you would do the work that only you can do in all of our hearts today. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you that you loved us first. And because of that, God, I love you so much. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's review the anchors. Let's start there today with reviewing the anchors. Anybody know that if you've been at Lakeside for a while, if you're new, you get an exempt from this. You don't have to be a part of this. You can just listen. But those of you who've been at Lakeside for a while, you should know these. First picture up there, the heart. What does that represent? Worship. We've done that today. Praise the Lord. What a great time of worship. We do that every day with our lives, honestly. What's the leaf? Growth. Growing in Christ, growing in the knowledge of Christ, growing to know him more. What's the people, the little people one? Connect. We connect people to Jesus and we connect people to each other and as we grow in Christ's likeness, it's good. Okay, what's the cross? The first hour of the cross was like, the cross. Share. That's who we share. We share the message of the cross, right? Of Jesus, what he did for us on the cross. And then the last one, which you should know because we've already talked about a little bit in this introduction, is serve. We have the great opportunity to serve our great God. And so that's the five anchors there, and there they are for you. Worship, grow, connect, share, and serve. And so we dive into 1 Peter 4, and we get going into this idea of serving today. Back 6 months ago, let me refresh your memory, because it's been a half a year now, what Pastor Dave preached on. As I said, he preached from John chapter 13, the Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in his introduction, he shared these following verses, and I want to use these and refresh your memory as we get going today. The first one is Titus 2:14. It says, who, Jesus, gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession. who are zealous for good works. And I want you to notice the pattern of these verses as we go through them. The pattern of this is, first, Jesus gave himself for us. Why? To redeem, to buy us back from our lawlessness and to purify us from our sin, from being criminals against him. And to purify for himself a people for his own possession, people to be called his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord. And so once he does that work, once he provides the way of salvation, the free gift that we're going to talk about here in a minute, and we accept that free gift, then it says that his people, we become his people who are zealous for good works then. And notice the next verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, or do you not know that your body, if you fully have surrendered your life to Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. I'm not my own today. I was bought with a price, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. In other words, in all your actions and your thoughts and everything you do in your body, you make much of God. You make him famous to the people around you. And then Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, some of our favorite verses as those who follow Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's a pattern here. I want you to see that. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. There's not this idea of, I can do all these good things, and if they outweigh my bad things, I'm good to go. I'm going to be in heaven. That has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with what Christ did for me on that cross, something I could never do, be a perfect lamb to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. So get the pattern correct. It is faith first alone that saves us in Christ. A writer said, you know, the faith that alone that saves you is never alone. And that's why there's verse 10 here in Ephesians 2. It says, for we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See the pattern? He says, it's faith alone that saves you. And the faith that alone saves you is never alone. It's always followed by good works that I have prepared already for you. And I want you to walk in them. And so as we get started, I want to remind you of the great truth of Scripture. And the great truth of the gospel is that Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing that I can do in and of myself to earn favor with God, that he would let me into his heaven and let me into a relationship with him. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, for the wages of your crime is death, and not only physical death, but this idea of separation from a holy God forever. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am so thankful that as a six-year-old, I realized the sin that I committed, that the crimes I committed against my parents and disobeying them and not honoring them. And then God brought me to the point in my life where he extended this gift of his son Jesus, saying, I died for you so that you can have a relationship with me. Here's the gift. And by faith, I remember taking that gift and accepting that great gift. And I wonder, if there's someone here today who hasn't accepted that free gift. Just like Christmas or your birthday, when somebody gives you a gift, you accept it. And that you would fully surrender your lives to Christ today. There might be one in here who hasn't done that, and I would encourage you today. Today's the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. So the good news is that the good news is that we are saved from something, one writer says. And that's God's wrath for sin. But according to the gospel, that same good news, we are saved for something. And this writer says that's discipleship. And the writer uses this definition of discipleship. He says, discipleship is intentionally equipping believers with the word of God through accountable relationships empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. In all types of service, if you think about it, we're saved for something. We're saved for discipleship. If you think about all the serving that goes on here at Lakeside, even right now, as you have nursery workers, we have children's church workers, they are serving so that discipleship can happen. And they might even be discipling some of those kids right now in those rooms as we speak. Our service as Lakeside as a whole is making discipleship happen in our church. I'm so thankful for that today, which brings us then to our text of 1 Peter chapter 4. So if you haven't opened your copy of the Word of God or the device, I encourage you to do that right now. So there are three things today that I want to challenge you with, and I've been challenged with this week as I've been studying this. And even 6 months ago when I was studying this back then, I was challenged with. And so God must just really need to challenge me with these things. But I hope these are a challenge to you. And there's three things here that we want to rethink today when it comes to our serving. The first one is rethink our comfort. And this is verses 1-6. Listen to these words. Peter writes, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. I'm going to stop right there. When we had really small kids and babies at our house, I remember one night specifically, it was about 2-3 a.m. in the morning, and I was dead asleep like all dads seem to be, right? Dads, okay? And of course, the mom hears the baby stir, right? And Stephanie was taking care of one of our babies. I don't remember which one. She was taking care of one of our babies in another room. And our bedroom at the time was right off of the living room and kitchen. And so I remember her making noise. And I woke up to noise in my house. Now, guys, if you wake up to some noise in your house, you don't know what it is. You're like, okay, I live for this moment. All right, I'm ready for this moment, right? Okay. Well, so I hear this person or whoever's in my house, didn't realize Stephanie wasn't in our bedroom, and I remember going out, or she came into our bedroom, so I just see a silhouette coming in my bedroom. I jumped out of bed, I grabbed her by the shoulders, I pulled back like this, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, ah! I armed myself. I was ready to go after. I was ready to protect my whole family. Little did I know, my family's right in front of me, and I'm about ready to beat them. So thankfully, the punch got pulled and it was okay. And I didn't sleep the rest of the night because I was so ready to go. But that's the idea here. Peter's saying, he says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, you know the great suffering he went through on the cross. Peter says, arm yourself with that same way of thinking. What a word to use, arm yourself. You're in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle, a fight in your life. Get ready for it. Arm yourselves. That doesn't sound very comfortable to me either. I can tell you that night, I wasn't very comfortable. That's why I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. So I was ready to go to war on my wife. Anyway. But that's the idea here. Listen to that language of the passage. Arm yourself. Arm yourselves. Equip your weapons with weapons. This world is not our home, is it not? Amen. If you know Jesus as your Savior and you fully surrender your life to Him, this world is not our home. Look at what he says, it goes on to. He says, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. No longer am I going to chase after my own comfort, the things I want in and of my heart. I want to chase after the will of God. And notice what he goes on to say. He talks about, with respect to this, they are surprised that he talks about the Gentiles will continue in all their sinful ways and their acts and everything that were detestable to God. And Peter says, with respect to this, they're surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. And they malign you, they revile you, make fun of you. And I remember that growing up. I remember having friends at school would be like, hey, let's go do this at a friend's house on Sunday night. And I'm like, oh, I can't have church. And as a kid, that's kind of my attitude at the time. It's like, if they put pressure on me, it made me feel like I was missing out on something. And Wednesday night, the same thing. Hey, Joel, why don't you come over and we'll play this game or we'll do whatever and just hang out. I'm like, I can't, guys, I have church. And as a kid, that I remember being uncomfortable at times with that because I kind of felt like I was missing out. But I will say to you today, I am so thankful for parents who said, this part of your schedule, Joel, of this of being at church with other believers and the gathering of believers is a priority and you're not going to touch it. I am so thankful for that, that God did that through my parents. Pastor Dave, in the first message on this anchor, he said, that there are many who are spectators, and they are the ones who complain the most. You know, and in our culture, where we are accustomed to be consumers, are we not? When we go to a restaurant, we expect certain service to be done, right? And if it's not done the way we like it, we're probably not going to go back there, or we're going to not tip as much or whatever. I mean, that's kind of our attitude, our culture today. And if our expectations are met, we'll take our business somewhere else. And here's the thing. When it comes to the body of believers, we are called to be co-workers and not consumers. We're called to be co-workers and not consumers. And let me tell you, we don't have a lack of serving going on here at Lakeside. Man, I love it. I absolutely love working alongside people here at Lakeside and serving alongside people at Lakeside. And so today, this message, yeah, there's some things in there that are not going to make you feel comfortable, like rethink your comfort. And it doesn't make me very comfortable either. But can I tell you, this is more of a huddle today. This is more of a, hey, we're going into fall. We got lots of ministries ramping up here in fall. So let's huddle up and let's get after it. Okay? So that's what this is about today. And comfort is one of those things that we, in our culture, value very highly. And a consumer is kind of our mentality, but God is wanting us to become co-workers together, not consumers. One writer said these things, and these statements, they cut me to the heart this week. And so here they are. A consumer is a spectator. A co-worker is a participant. A consumer shows up late to the service. A coworker arrives early to help. And one speaker, one of my favorite speakers, says this when he goes through statements like this. He says, if you can't say amen, you gotta say ouch. Say that. If you can't say amen, you gotta say ouch. And I've said ouch. A consumer criticizes everything that doesn't line up with his or her preferences. A coworker appreciates what God is doing in the church. A consumer comes to sit and get. A coworker looks to go and serve. A consumer asks, "What's in it for me?" A coworker only asks, "What's in it for you? What do you need from God today?" A consumer sees himself as a cistern to just to store the truth and store up God's truth. A coworker sees himself as a channel to bestow blessing on others and truth onto others. And then one I wrote, a consumer is all about his or her comfort. And a coworker sacrifices his or her comfort for God's big plan of connecting people to Jesus and growing each one of us in Christ's likeness. I'm a consumer at times. I've seen it in my life. And then my mind goes back to what Christ did on the cross for me. And I think he totally gave up all his comfort to become a man, a fully man, fully God, coming in the flesh and living a perfect life and then giving up his comfort and going to the cross and suffering the suffering that I was supposed to suffer because of my sin. And when I think of that, I think, what is my comfort? Why do I make it such a big deal? But I still do. And so my prayer is, God, make me a co-worker. Do whatever it takes to make me a co-worker with the body of believers that you've placed here in Polk City at Lakeside Fellowship. And that's what we're looking for here today. We're looking for co-workers to join in the battle, to come along, for all of us to come alongside each other and to serve our great God. Look at what Jesus said in John 16:33. This should just give us the motivation that we need to get going in whatever serving God has for us today, whatever it is, whether it's here at church or whether it's at home or in the neighborhood, whatever. Here it is. John 16:33. I, Jesus, have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Yes. We talked about that last week up on Church on the Square. You may have peace. In the world, in this world where you and I live, you will have tribulation. You will have suffering. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. So thankful you just like, yep, just leave it to that. You're going to suffer. No, Jesus goes on. He says, but take heart. Take heart, Lakeside. Jesus has overcome the world. Yes. Amen? Yes. Jesus has overcome the world. And so the message that you and I have in our serving to take to this world about the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done for people, we can do it with boldness and with courage and go through suffering with boldness and courage because he's overcome the world. Say that. Rethink our comfort. I need to rethink my comfort. Rethink our time, and time is getting away from me. Time always gets in the way. Rethink our time. Verses 7 and 9. Look what Peter writes. He says this. I'm just going to focus on the first part right now. Is this. The end of all things is at hand, he says. The end of all things is at hand. You know, you can say this. If tomorrow the world was over with, or if you know Jesus Christ and you have put you fully surrender your life to Christ and he's to call you home today, now that changes your perspective if we would know that. But that's the truth. The truth that God is trying to get through to us is the end of all things is at hand. There's a sense of urgency that we need in our serving. Our life, as James says, is like a vapor. James 4:14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. This is where he's talking about, hey, those of you who say, tomorrow we're gonna go to such and such city and do such and such thing, okay? You don't know what tomorrow is gonna bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then it just vanishes. This last week I walked into Preston's office and I had a pencil with me and I said, hey, can I put something on your wall? He's like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, can I put something on your wall? So I'm going to put this on my wall too. What can I put it on your wall? And so what I did is I took a pencil and I just made a little tiny mark, little tiny itty bitty mark right by his door frame. And I did one in my office too. And I said, that's my life. compared to all the wall space, the ceiling space, the floor space in this building and beyond in the whole world. That is my life, that little dash on that wall. Just like a tombstone says, mine would say 1978 dash whenever. Just that dash. That's my life. And as I have gotten older, I am trying and I am asking God to do this in my life, that in all that I do, that I would invest that little dash into things that would outlive me, invest that dash into eternity, into eternal things. Peter goes on, he says, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. You know, be in your right mind so that we could pray and can pray more effectively and appropriately. Our praying should be based on knowledge and a mature evaluation of situations that come up in our lives. And then he goes on, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We should love genuinely, one writer says, because we will then be quick to forgive sins. Notice I didn't say overlook sins. I'm not going to overlook sin. We're going to take sin seriously like God takes sin seriously. But we're going to be quick to forgive when people are broken and contrite. And we're going to forgive. We will not hold grudges and become bitter. And I've been around people who have been bitter in their lives. And can I tell you, it's a huge time waster. It's a huge waste of time. Put on love. Keep loving one genuinely, since love covers a multitude of sins. Then he says this at the end, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. We also need to show hospitality without grumbling, without complaining. You know, I maybe you've had these thoughts, I don't know. But, you know, you have people over and you're just like, man, we're always sharing our stuff with them. We're always sharing our stuff with them. I'm always having them over. They never have us over. You know, can I just say, yeah, ouch. Can I just say that it's not about what you can get in return. It's about just doing it, just showing hospitality to one another without grumbling and complaining about it, because you're pointing them to Jesus. And you so badly want them to have a relationship with Jesus, and you so badly want them to grow in Christ's likeness that you're willing to give up your stuff and give up your house. Need to rethink our time. One phrase that I've used before too is that, oh, we're just too busy. Too busy for such and such. We're too busy for such and such. Well, we make ourselves busy. Yeah. Now I know that there are things that have to be done. We have to work. We have to go to school. Those of you kids who are in here. But one thing that I've been challenged with this week is that I need to take time and I need to reevaluate my schedule and my activities. And I need to look at my activities that are on my schedule and I say, okay, does this activity have maximum eternal value? Work, maybe not. School, maybe not, but it can be. You can be witnessing your friends and coworkers and those things and telling them about Jesus, pointing them to Jesus. But here's the thing. There's some activities that are on my schedule that I know they don't really have any eternal value whatsoever. I need to start rethinking that time I invest in those things. I need to rethink my time. We need to rethink our role. This is the last one. Rethink our role. Verses 10 through 11. I really just want to focus in on the first line again of this, though he says, Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we're told here, first Peter tells us, each of you has received a gift. If you surrender your life fully to Christ, you have a gift, and you should be using it to serve one another, because it's God who's given you that. Romans 12, Paul writes, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Not everybody can be the hands. Somebody has to be the elbow. Somebody has to be the pinky. Somebody has to be the little piggy toe. The little pinky toe on your foot, right? Somebody has to be that piggy. Can I tell you though, if you've ever had that toe hurt or broken or something happened to it, the rest of the body is suffering like none other, right along with it. There's not one gift that stands out among all the gifts. God's given these gifts by his grace to each one of us, and we need to be using them. Peter goes on to say, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing with this rethinking your role. You surrender your life fully to Christ. God gives you a gift. And then not only does he give us a gift, he enables us to use it. He gives the strength, right? Look at it. Who serves by the strength that God supplies. I serve by the strength that God supplies. And we should all serve that way. Leaning into him, trusting in him for that strength that he'll give us. And then why does he do that? The answer is right there. Why does he do that? That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That God may be made famous. That God may be made much of. And that Polk City and all the world would know that there's one true God. And it's the God of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, everybody has a gift. And maybe you're thinking, if I've surrendered my life to Christ, Joel, and I don't know what my gift is. There's ways to find out. There's ways that we as leaders or as growth group leaders can come or small group leaders can come in and walk you through that and help you find scripturally what possibly is the gift that God's given you. And we want to do that. That's the idea of us as leaders. We want to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I mean, it's fall, and I'm looking at the fall schedule that Preston's laid out there, and I'm telling you, I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, how are we gonna do all this? And it's by the strength God supplies, and it's the fact that we don't have to do all this. It's all of us. It's all of us coming alongside each other, working together by the strength of God for his glory here at Lakeside. What an awesome thing that is. That book that I got those lines from about being a consumer or a coworker goes on to say this. It says, one reason why we have more consumers in the church than coworkers is because many feel inadequate. Let me tell you, as a leader, in and of myself, I am totally inadequate. I felt it today getting up here. And I was praying, God, I am totally inadequate to do this. You've got to do it through me. And that's what he lays out right there in 1 Peter 4. Praise the Lord, it's not up to me, but it's God who's all powerful, and he enables all of us to be co-workers for the gospel and ultimately for his fame. It is vital to the gospel going out from here that we all rethink our role and embrace the gift that God has given us and use it in his strength to rely on that power to enable us to serve for his fame. Nothing should be holding us back. Nothing should be holding us back. If we are surrendered fully to Christ, we're surrendered fully to Christ. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to rethink our comfort, We're going to rethink our time and rethink our role. You know, and what a great time for this message to lead into communion in time of remembering what Christ has done for us. Because we love because he first loved us. He loved us and he gave himself up for us so that we may have eternal life and so that we can have a relationship with him. And let me tell you, we serve because he first served us by giving his life up so that I can have my greatest need met, one of a savior, one of a rescuer. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. And I think the least that we can do is we ponder what he's done for us. We can take time and we can rethink our comfort. We can rethink how we spend our time and we can rethink our role. At the very least, we can do that. Let's pray. Father, I come to you right now, undeserving of your great love. God, thank you so much that you saw me in my need, that I was a criminal as a six-year-old, Lord, against you. And I was destined to death, separation from you for the rest of my life and the rest of eternity. But Lord, you showed me your son, that he loved the world. And you gave up, you loved the world and you gave up your only son. So if I just believe in him, that I would not perish but have everlasting life. God, thank you so much for Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the suffering in my life that you've brought at times, that you've allowed in my life, Lord, that has kept me from sinning against you, Lord. And Lord, maybe I was sinning against you, and you allowed suffering in my life so that I would repent from that sin and turn back again to you and back to serving you again. Lord, thank you for that work you've done. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today who hasn't fully surrendered their life to Christ, that today you would reveal to them their great need they have of a rescuer, that they can't earn it on their own, and that you would draw them to yourself and you would save them, Lord, today. And Lord, those of us who know you, help me to rethink my life. Help me to rethink my comfort, to give it up, to rethink my time, to make sure that things on my calendar and my schedule are really having maximum worth eternally. And Lord, help me to rethink my role, God. Help me to lean into you to accomplish your purpose and give the power that's needed to use the gift that you've given me, God. And I pray that for all of us here at Lakeside, that we would not be consumers, God. Do whatever it takes in my life, do whatever it takes here at Lakeside to make us co-workers. We love you today. We love you so much because once we were enemies and your son still died for us. And you loved us first. Thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.